As I stated in Bible class, the same holds true in this hour that God has blessed us with an opportunity to be able to be with those of like precious faith and to be able to gather together and worship God in spirit and truth. We ought to be grateful for that. I can think of no better place upon the Lord's day than to be among God's people worshiping our God, our Father. And I hope that you feel the same. Appreciate the presence of each person. Appreciate the mention of me in your prayers. Appreciate the visitors being with us. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. Our only appeal is to the Bible. Just started a radio and TV program on the appeal of the Church of Christ. What is our appeal? The Bible. Back to the Bible. We need to get back to the Bible for all that we do. And I wish more people would see the value in that. Back to the Bible for worship, back to the Bible for the way of salvation, back to the Bible for the home, and the list just goes on. So if you listen to the TV and radio program, that's what it'll be on for the next few weeks until we're done with that series, and we'll move on. I hope that this series of lessons dealing with the eldership has been beneficial. And there are lessons along the way that are presented dealing with the eldership, but not so often do you hear a series of lessons dealing with the eldership when a congregation is on the verge of appointing elders, at least in a position to be able to move in that direction, keep moving in that direction. And I think it is vital before elders are appointed at any congregation, I don't care if it's Mill Street or where it might be, a series of lessons needs to be done on that. So it's in the minds of the people. The congregation knows and are reminded about the duties of elders and men who aspire to be appointed to that good work, know the qualifications, and the members know the qualifications. We're going to talk about the appointment of elders in this lesson, among some other things. And we need to talk about and have in the forefront of our minds our responsibilities to elders. And I dealt with that last week. And so, in fact, good comments about the lessons. I appreciate that. And nothing along the way of a negative comment has been made. But it's all been positive. So I think you've appreciated this series. And I know that I've appreciated putting it together and then presenting it. And so we talked about the work of elders in our first lesson. We talked about the qualifications in our second lesson for the sole purpose that the work demands the qualifications. And then last week we dealt with our responsibilities toward the elders. And I told you that our fourth lesson would be a practical lesson, and that this would be a lesson if you had questions or you had things that you think about relative to elders being appointed and going from having no elders to having elders, maybe some things that you've wondered about, not necessarily with the work or with the qualifications, but just some practical things maybe that comes to mind. No one suggested anything. I'm a little bit surprised about that. I can think of a few questions that I would ask, and you probably can too, but maybe you just didn't have opportunity necessarily, or maybe it slipped your mind to ask me. And so I think that the questions that I'm going to deal with in this lesson are questions I think other people would ask about. And so when it comes to appointing elders, having understood and having an understanding of their work, having an understanding of their qualifications, having an understanding of our responsibilities to them, what happens when it comes time then that there are men qualified and they aspire to be an elder, they want to be an elder, or at least maybe they're not voiced that to you, but you can look out among yourselves and you can think of men who, yes, in light of those qualifications, I know of men who meet those qualifications. Well, what then? There's no doubt that the Bible says to appoint or to ordain elders in every city or church the Bible talks about. Acts chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. And did a good job in the scripture reading this morning, taken from that. And I shared with you at the beginning of our series, there's just a handful of passages in the New Testament that you can go to talk about the elders. Acts chapter 20 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 13, and 1 Peter chapter 5, and there's some others, a couple of other passages that you can go to. And so what do you do then about the appointment of elders? The word appoint, by the way, is a word that just means simply to select. That's all it means. When the Bible in Acts chapter 14 uses the word ordain, some versions use the word appoint. It's a different Greek word, but it still has reference to selecting men to that particular work. That's all it means. It's not some fanciful term, that some ceremony that takes place where men are put through a crucible or whatever the case may be, some special ceremony we have or whatever. It just simply means selecting men to do the work of a bishop or an elder. Same thing. Referred to as pastors in the New Testament or elders. And so what do you do when you come to a point, kind of like you're in at Mill Street, where you do not have elders? Or if you had elders and there was another man to be appointed as an elder, what do you do? How do you go about appointing elders? Well, in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, he tells Titus, I left you in Crete for this reason, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are lacking or wanting, and ordain or select or appoint elders in every city as I had appointed thee. A lot of it, when it comes to appointing elders, can be a matter of judgment. I want to say about matters of judgment right now that there ought to be no matter of judgment that splits a congregation. There ought to be no matter of judgment as to the selecting of men to be elders that should split the body of Christ. But you're going to have to come up with a way. The men are going to need to get together, however they want to do that, and say this is kind of how we're going to go about selecting men to be elders, because it is a matter of judgment. In Titus chapter 1 and Acts chapter 24, or Acts chapter 14, the command is simply given. Titus, it's given, and then Acts 14 is an example of them doing it. But it's a matter of judgment as to how that's done. But you got to get the job done. And I start with that by saying that no matter of judgment ought to split a congregation. It's not anything that a congregation ought to bicker about on how it's done. And whatever process that ends up being, just so be it, just get the job done. That's the point I want you to see. But I want you to see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 10, that even in matters of judgment, we need to be unified about that. And Paul would say, speak the same thing, mind the same thing. Have no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And so even in a matter of judgment, a congregation needs to be unified about that, not squabble about it and argue about it and fuss and fight about it, but just simply get the job done. And there's a number of ways in which you can do that. I firmly believe that a span of some time, a period of time, needs to be given. Yes, we've dealt with the qualifications, we've dealt with the work, we've dealt with the responsibilities, but we need some time to do that. We need some time to put it into action. And it's not something that needs to be rushed in. This is for the long haul. It's a marathon, so to speak. It's setting up the organization of the local work in such a way that it's done right. With qualified men who are equipped to do the work, and you're ready to be in submission to those men. That's important. And so you need some time to select some men to do that. I made this statement, I think it was last week, that most of you know the men here more so than other members do. Some members not been members here long. Some folks don't know the men like you know the men. And so you need some time to say, in light of those qualifications, this person meets those to the best of my knowledge. You need some time period to select some of those men. Now think about Acts chapter 6. By the way, in Acts chapter 6, when there was a problem because a particular group of widows were being neglected from a daily ministration, and the apostle said, and I think this is just a good example, look ye out from among you seven men or men who are, and gives the qualifications for that. I don't necessarily think Acts chapter 6 is talking about these men who were selected to serve in capacities such as deacons, as you would have in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but they were men who were selected to take this work. Be that as it may, the best thing, I think, take it for what it's worth, that a congregation can do for themselves is they need to select the men. You need to look out among yourselves, men who meet these qualifications. Well, preacher, why don't you do that? That won't work. Now, there's men I could look at and say, well, so-and-so meets those qualifications. But you need to look out among yourselves, men, and you need to select the men who are going to serve as elders. Yes, Titus, being an evangelist, was told to ordain or select or appoint men to fill that role. Look ye out among yourselves, men, who meet those qualifications. That's vital. That's important. And the reason that's important is there is no self-appointed elder. Men don't appoint themselves to that role. It's not like me and Tom get together and say, now Tom, we're lacking here now. Why don't me and you get together? Now we'll take this thing over. It don't work like that. It's not taking over anywhere, not Lord, no Father. But they're not self-appointed to the eldership. The congregation needs to look out among themselves men that meet those qualifications and select those men to serve in that capacity. Now, so no self-appointed, now it may just be that I'm willing to serve, and I say, look, I'm willing to serve in that capacity. I'm using myself, but if an individual is qualified and wanted to serve in that capacity, he can make that known. Nothing wrong with that. But again, the congregation needs to select the men that are going to serve in that capacity. So time needs to be given for that. And when names are put forth, I told you before an example that I saw, there was just simply a box that was put in the foyer and people put names in it. They looked out among themselves, and if they thought somebody qualified, they wrote that name down, they put it in there. And a period of time was given, I think, in that specific incident, there was 2 weeks that was given. And so for a period of time, about 2 weeks, the congregation selected men that they thought was worthy, or not worthy rather, but qualified to serve in that capacity. That at the end of that 2 weeks, it was put before the congregation, here's the names that are given. If you have a scriptural objection to these men serving, if you have a scriptural reason as to why one of these men should not serve, you write that objection down and you sign your name to it. I like that from this standpoint. I told you today, by the way, is a practical lesson. Rubber meeting the road. It's not about, well, I just don't think so-and-so do good. Why don't you think so-and-so do good? Well, I don't think so-and-so ought to serve as an elder. Why don't you think so-and-so should serve as an elder? Well, I heard from a neighbor who has a cousin, who has a friend who worked with a co-worker who knew something about him. That won't work. Have you got a scriptural reason as to why one of these men should not serve? You own that reason. You write it down, put your name to it. Now, you may not like that idea. I gave you the reason why I do. But again, in a matter of judgment. And it's not my way. The preacher doesn't come up with a way to do it, and I don't care to help to do that. But it needs to be an agreed upon way as to how you're going to move forward in this direction of appointing elders. One time in a study, a passage got brought up about it. We were talking about appointing elders, and one of the members spoke up and said, well, Matthew chapter 18 says, go to him and him alone. Matthew chapter 18 is not dealing with the appointment of elders. Matthew chapter 18 is dealing with when a brother or a sister has personally done something wrong toward you. That's what Matthew chapter 18 is talking about. He's not talking about the appointment of elders. So if a man has done something to you personally, some sin against you, you need to go to him. Not wait till he's wanted to be an elder and go to him if he's done something personally toward you. That's not what Matthew 18 is dealing with. And so some time needs to be given that some men can be put forward to serve as elders. Then again, you need to, if you've got an objection, that needs to be raised. And I am emphasizing a scriptural objection. We've talked about the qualifications of elders. Either a man qualifies to be an elder or he doesn't. And that needs to be raised. You need to have some time then. If you narrowed that down, just say for, I'm just going to put a number on the board, but just say there were 10 men that were put forward as meeting these qualifications. Then upon talking to those men, maybe five of them said, no, I don't desire to do that. I don't feel like I'm ready to do that. I'm not in a position to do that. Maybe some other obligations. I just don't, for whatever the reason, I withdraw my name from that. Maybe you narrowed it down to five. Here are the men that have been put forth by this congregation to serve as elders. You got an objection to one of those men serving, then you need to raise that objection. Write it down. Now, having said that, I want to encourage you to, and again, a scriptural objection. Maybe there's something that you just question. I don't know. I've got a question about it. Don't object to someone serving as an elder until you have the information that you need. Don't do that. It's not fair to that person that's wanting to serve as an elder. If there is something that you question, you just don't know about, I've heard this, or what? Go to that person and say, look, your name's been put forth. You desire to be an elder, and I've just got questions about this. Anything wrong with that? Not a thing. And the person that aspires to be an elder, or the persons that aspire to be elders, should welcome that. Hey, I'd be happy to clear that up for you. And you've got to have the time, and you've got to have that relationship, that concern to be able to do that. Now's the time to hash all that out as you're in the process of putting these men forward. And if there is some scriptural objection as to why a man doesn't meet those qualifications, he ought not serve. I haven't said that. Let me also say this. Just because I question whether or not an individual should serve doesn't mean that I get my way. Just because I raise a question about, well, I'm just not sure about that, well, you might not feel like you can go along with it, but if you don't have an objection, you don't have an objection. But just because you feel like, or I feel like, that, well, I just question that, I'm just not sure about that, doesn't mean that individual's not going to serve. The congregation's going to appoint these men to them who are scripturally qualified. But all of that needs time to be worked out. You cannot rush that. If you do, you do yourself and the men who serve as a disservice to rush through that process of doing that. And then after some time, after folks have had an opportunity to go to them with any questions maybe they had, or if there's something that is known, they had a scriptural objection to that, or there are no scriptural objections, but it worked out, and then these men can be appointed. Having considered the qualifications and the work before them, given the congregation time to put forth those names, given the congregation time to raise any scriptural objections, if there are no scriptural objections as to why they should not serve, then appoint those men to serve as elders. And be thankful that you go from having no elders to having elders. And there might be other ways in which you can do it. My point about that is in appointing elders, it is a lot of it a matter of judgment as to how you get that job done. What is not a matter of judgment is the qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. There's no debating about that. I mean, it is. If a man seeks to do that, he must be. And then so forth. So then you have men that are appointed to the eldership. Say some times went by and the men were put forward, and if there were all that was worked out, and now you have these men that are qualified, they're willing, and they need to be appointed, selected. You know the responsibilities that you would then have to those men, that you are to submit yourselves unto them. They watch for your soul, taking care of you, making sure you're fed, making sure that the devil's kept away from you as far as they can, making sure that things with the church are going as God would have it to go. Now, we did not do a lesson on the deacons, and I think one needs to be done, but you've got men here who would make absolutely fine deacons and would do a very, very, very good job at it. And then having men selected as elders and deacons appointed to serve under their oversight, and then all of us as members just working together to accomplish what God would have to be accomplished here. Think about what we can do when the local church is organized in such a way as God said for it to be. Well, then men are appointed. What then? Let me say one other thing. I made some notes. In the appointment of elders, I anticipate that there would be folks who would come to me and ask questions, and that's okay. Voice a concern, that's okay. I'm not saying don't. But my response is going to be, if you come to me and say, now I've got concerns about whoever, or I'm just not sure. I'm not sure I've got all the information that I need that I can voice in a positive light that I think is qualified. That's okay. But what you're going to hear is this. You need to go to him and talk with him. It's okay to voice that to him if you want to. But my response is, you need to go to him. And you need to talk with him and voice with him the questions or the concerns that you have. Folks, you're talking about the men that are going to be watching for your soul. You bet. You need to have a relationship with them. I don't think any of the men here who aspire to be an elder would have a problem with any member calling to them and saying, listen, this is a concern that I have. This is a question that I have. I don't think that anybody would have a problem with that. But you've got to be able to do that. What happens when men are appointed and you have a problem that you need to talk with the elders about, and you don't even have such a relationship to be able to go to them and talk to them about a concern you have about the eldership? So you need to go to them and voice that to them. That'd be the advice that I would give you. Well, the question comes up sometimes. Men are appointed, and now they're serving in that capacity, and you know the responsibility that you have toward them. But I wanted to deal with this question more, because it's a good question that came up in a Bible study, because it's a question that can very well happen. Something very well happen. What happens then when the elders make a decision about something that you don't necessarily agree with? You don't think it's a decision that ought to be made. First of all, you need to understand that elders are not perfect men. Just because men are appointed to the eldership doesn't mean that they get it right all the time. They're not know-it-alls. They don't know everything. And sometimes decisions are made, even in our best effort to have all the information before us to make the best decision we can, sometimes we don't have everything. Sometimes we don't have important information that would have really changed the decision that we would make. So what happens when a decision is made that maybe you don't necessarily agree with? Talk to the elders. Voice to them, listen, I've got a concern about this decision that was made, and I'd like to talk with you about it. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to change the decision they made, but maybe they made it based on some information that you didn't have. And maybe you had some information that they didn't think about, and now upon learning about that, they're going to reevaluate whether or not that was the best decision to make. That makes sense to you? But understand, at the end of the day, they're the elders and you're not, and the responsibility to make the decision is theirs and not mine. It's their responsibility. It's their duty. That's their work. And whatever that decision that might be, just because I don't necessarily think it's the best decision that ought to be made, doesn't mean that they should not make that decision. And when you think about whatever it might be, times of service, whether there's an evening service or not, or a Wednesday night Bible study, I think all those things are important. I think they're vital. But if a decision's made that I don't agree with, the best thing I can do is talk to the elders about it. And voice as to why I might not think that was the best decision for them. But again, those men that are charged with that task of shepherding the flock, and it's their decision. Now, if a decision is made that is unscriptural, that's a different question. We ought to obey God rather than man, but you got to have to talk to him anyway. I think too many times decisions are made and the members squibble about it, they argue about it, they fuss about it, and they never go to the ones who've even made the decision to say, this is the problem that I have about it, and here's why. And so when men are appointed to the eldership, I'm telling you that one of the things that is absolutely vital is communication. And if elders make a decision about something, they need to be constantly communicating that with the congregation. Have a set time when you talk about the affairs of the church. I remember being given by a good friend of ours a booklet, I've still got it, where the elders, where she was a member of, every year came out with what they called the State of the Church. State of the Union. State of the Church. And it was full of, here's a treasury account, here's the work that we're doing, here's what we plan to do for this year. They would give it out at the first of the year, the year in review, and here's what we anticipate to do for this year. I like that. Because you need to know what's going on. You need to know decisions that are made and why they're made, and that will alleviate a lot of maybe the problems that might come up when you don't know. Elders need to constantly be in communication with the congregation in communication with them. We ought to obey God rather than man. I want to spend the rest of our time. Time gets away from us quick, I know, but I want to spend the rest of our time. I know there's other things that you could think of when it comes to the selecting and appointing of elders. And then, of course, deacons can be appointed to serve in that capacity under their oversight when they meet those, and we'll have at least one lesson on the deacons soon. But I want to spend the rest of the time just giving you some things that I think will help elders do their job better. As a preacher, I like when people help me do my job better. And there's different ways in which that can be done. And we want elders to be in a position to be able to serve with joy. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Don't make their job hard. Well, here's some things that I want to suggest to you will help them do their job better. First of all, is suggestions. If you see something that needs to be suggested, suggest it to them. Elders don't see everything. They don't know everything. And sometimes you, me, may see something that needs to be taken care of that maybe the elders are not aware of. Suggest that to them. That'll help them be in a better position to do their job. Since they are soul watchers, maybe someone is getting spiritually sick and they didn't know that. Necessarily. Maybe something else needs to be addressed that is lacking, is not being given due attention to. Make that suggestion to them. as they're thinking about feeding the flock, and you think there's a good Bible curriculum for the Bible classes for the young people, or maybe something that needs to be dealt with in an adult class, suggest that to them. So that will help them do their job better when suggestions are made by the congregation. By the way, let me say too, when men are appointed to the eldership, the congregation as a whole needs to submit to them. You should have participated in that. Don't lay it off on somebody else when you think they don't need to be appointed, but you didn't say a thing in the world about it. They were appointed, and you say, well, I had nothing to do with that. You had every opportunity to raise your question and your objection to them, and if you don't blame somebody else when they're appointed. You say, well, I don't think so-and-so is qualified. Well, what'd you say about it? So don't. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to you, your own soul. It's not fair to that person. It's not fair to the congregation to do that. When that period of time is given, you need to participate in that. And don't say, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. That's not an option for members of a congregation. You have everything to do with it. And we need to bear that burden together. Bear you one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. But make those suggestions to them. Number two, here's something else you can do. Each one of us, when elders are appointed here, can do our part. Don't think because elders are appointed that there's no work for me to do, and it's their job, and that they get. All of us have work that can be done. Philippians chapter 1 verse 1, when he gave the oversight of the church in that one verse, for we are member and the members rather. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when he talks about one body, yet we are many members. All of us working together go to the functionality of the church, the body. My foot plays a part in it, my overall function, my hand does, my eyes do, my ears. Every member has their part in the work of this congregation. And if you don't do your part, it's not fair to everybody else who will have to pick up the slack to do it. It's not fair, is it? You think I should have to double up and do your work? You think you should have to do my work? We need to help one another, do each other's work together. And I need to do the work that I'm capable and responsible to do. So we need to do our part. Again, inform them. That kind of goes in with suggestions. Number four, you need to encourage them. It's not easy. A congregation of this size, about 90 folks or so, 80 to 90, that's not easy. You're not dealing with a congregation that has 200-300 people that I've recently seen with about 15 elders. You're dealing with a congregation of about 90 people who's just going to have a few elders right now and grow hopefully to more. I want to say at least two or more have to have. And so you need to encourage them. That's not easy work. They've got the responsibility to oversee the work of this church and to watch for your soul. Not easy work. So you need to encourage them. When they do something good, encourage them about it. Keep up the good work. I like what you're doing. And other people tell you how good they like it. Let the elders know that. Listen, I've heard from so many of the members how much they appreciate what you're doing. And the work that you're striving to do. Encourage them in the work. Be patient. I think one of the worst things we can do is to be impatient. Impatient in the selecting of the men, impatient in the appointment of the men, impatient in them getting used to that new role that they voluntarily took on. Be patient with them. Don't expect for everything that might need to be fixed to get fixed overnight. It takes time. So be patient with them when they're appointed. Be understanding. Be understanding that the men that may serve as elders, that you're not their only responsibility. Obviously, are they family men? Shaker, sure are. Can't be an elder if you're not. That means that they've got family responsibilities. That means that they might just have something that they're going to have to take care of before they get to your need. be understanding about that. God first, family second, the brethren third. I don't mean that in a bad way, but they've got families that they've got to take care of. They have jobs that they've got to maintain. They can't be at your beck and call every time you call on them. Now, they'll get to you. That's part of their work. But don't expect that they can just show up in the next 5 minutes when they've got a job or they've got a family. Sometimes people expect that of somebody else. Never mind. But be understanding that they've got other things to tend to as well. You can help them by living right, by keeping yourself pure, and then they won't have to go through the painstaking task of initiating and going through with discipline because of an unruly member. Now, that's to be done for the love of the soul of a person that's unruly, to bring them back, but that's difficult nonetheless, and you can save them from having to go through it if you'll do your part and keep yourself pure. Right? Live right. Don't live in such a way that you got to be talked to by the elders because of something you got caught up in. You can help them in their work by attending. I don't know if I had to rank these, that one would be at the top or near the top of things you could do to make their job easier. You need to be here. How on earth can they watch for your soul and feed you the good word of God if you're not here? Now, there's a lot of congregations, I'm sure, don't deal with that. We're not among them. We've still got a problem with folks who do not want to attend. And I know there's people who want to be here, but their body says no, though their mind says, I want to go, but I just can't be there. I understand that. Putting that aside, I understand that. But we've still got way too many members who I'm convinced could be here and ought to be here, but will not be here, and you're going to make the work of an elder difficult by you just simply not showing up because you think you got better things to do. Isn't that awful? Be here and encourage them. Encourage and grow together that they may do it with joy and not grief because it's unprofitable unto you. Those are practical things. Preacher, you didn't use a lot of scripture. I gave you some scripture. It's a practical lesson of things that you need to know about. Here it is. You're on the verge of doing that. And the men are going to have to decide, look, if we're going to go in that direction, then we need to get the job done. And I'd encourage you not just sit around. It's all going to happen for itself on its own. If you want to put men forward, then you need to get busy about doing that. But that's not my call. The men here need to decide if they want to go through with that or not. I'd encourage you to keep moving in that direction. Don't give up on that. If something gets brought up that, listen, right now it's just not the time, but keep working on it. Work on those issues. If there's something that one of the men said, look, I'm not in a position where I can. Maybe it's something that later on he can. I'm saying don't give up on being scripturally organized as God would have you to be, Acts 14 and Titus 1 and in verse 5. I hope that this series has been beneficial to you, some things to think about. If you have questions about the sermon, you know you're always welcome to ask me and to talk with me. I do not stand in the back as you leave for you to pat me on the back, but to give you an opportunity, should you not agree with anything that I say, to say, preacher, I need to talk with you about that. You're always welcome to do that. Should you be here this morning, not a Christian, you have opportunity to become one by doing what they did in Bible days to become a Christian and never change. Hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, confessing your faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32, and being buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and in verse 38. But you may be here this morning saying, preacher, I've done that, but I've not lived right. I've not lived as I should. I turn my back on the Lord, and I want to come home. I had it better off with my father, and I realize that. Now I want to come back home. You can repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.